The word on my heart this morning has particularly encouraged me and blessed me these past few weeks. A word that we would do good to always have before us, particularly in the days that we are living in the days that we are approaching. That's Psalm 46. Psalm 46. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. If you don't know, the sons of Korah, you know, Korah, Datum, and Abiram rose up in rebellion against God and against His servants when God was leading them through the wilderness. And God was going to prove and endorse that He had called His servants, Moses and Aaron. And God said to them the night before through Moses that in the morning He will demonstrate and prove who His servants were and on whom God had given grace and an anointing. And we don't know what happened, but at the last minute the sons of Korah pulled out and did not go along with their family, did not go along with their parents and uncles and aunts and all the rest, 250 people who rebelled against God and against Moses. And they wrote this song or this psalm and experience just what we read there. It's a wonderful thing that in the midst of all of life's trials and difficulties and whatever we may face in the office, in the home, and we go through tough times, our faith grows, somebody said, amidst storms. It's not when everything is easy and everything is going well and smooth, but faith grows amid storms. And this was definitely a big storm for these sons of Korah. But they had made, it says, their God is our refuge and strength. Verse 1. God. Not our family, not our job, not anything that we may have on this earth, it's God. Just right in the very beginning of creation, in the beginning, God. That's how it is. That's how life started on the earth. That's how the darkness and the chaos cleared. And God was able to bring beauty out of what was chaos and emptiness. Beauty came because in the beginning, God. God spoke and the Spirit of God moved. And that's how it's been through the centuries. And that's how it is today. God, in the beginning. I hope it is like that for all of us. In the beginning, God. Not just our quiet time in the beginning of the day. Not just when I get up in the morning. We've heard that, you know, like the blind man reaching for his cane. Yeah, we can follow that in the letter. I don't reach for my mobile, my cane, I reach for God. But is it a mere ritual? Is it something, because that's what we've been reminded of in CFC, don't reach for your mobile, don't reach for your cup of coffee, reach for God. It's good if we really do that. I do it. And I seek that it is a reality, not a ritual. God is our refuge and strength. Not just at the beginning of a day, all through the day, 7 days a week, 365 days, God must be our refuge and strength. I hope He's your refuge and strength. And you can know that only in times of trouble. It says there, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the earth blows up, and that's exactly what the sons of Korah experienced, the earth opening under their feet, but they being saved because God was their refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the Living Bible, it says, a tested help in times of trouble. I hope we, all of us, I don't think there's anyone on us here who has life, you know, just a bed of roses, everything goes smooth and easy. If it's like that for you, I feel sorry, because you'll never have faith in times of trouble. Faith grows amid storms. It's when we go through trouble that we test, you know, on whom, who do we rely on? That my refuge and my strength is God. I hope He's yours. My brothers and sisters, I hope He has become yours and you've tested that in times of trouble. Abundantly, if you have a margin there, it says abundantly available for help in tight places. Abundantly available for help in tight places. Therefore, we need never fear. Fear is going to, like it says in the Bible, cause the hearts of men to fail in the last days. Heart failure. If you don't get heart failure, you'll have spiritual heart failure. But if God is our refuge and strength, and we have seen Him abundantly available for help in times of trouble, we need not fear. If you fear God, like we have on the plaque at the back, you need fear nothing else. Isaiah 8. If I fear God, I need fear nothing else. Whatever it is, whatever God allows into your life and mine, I need not fear. Whatever God allowed for Job, and He allowed the devil to do all kinds of things, He removed the hedges one by one. But God, Job didn't give up. He stood true. He knew God has His refuge and strength. He had no covenant, no old covenant, no new covenant. He didn't have the Bible. He's the first man. The first book of the Bible is Job, not Genesis. You've heard that in this church. Job lived much before Moses. And what did God have to say to man? It was a man that He pointed out to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? He holds fast, even though you've got permission to test him and do all kinds of things. Take away his children, take away his property, take away everything else. And even his wife said, curse God and die. But yet he remained true. And he says, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What faith that man had. And he had nothing else. Of all that we have today, we have the Bible, we have messages, we have more than anything else, we have Jesus. But Job had none of this, much, much before Jesus ever came. So God is our refuge and strength. And I want to encourage all of us listening to this morning. You will need this in the days ahead. I'll need this in the days ahead. God is our refuge and strength, abundantly available for help in tight places. Remember that. A tested help in times of trouble. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never let go of your hand. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. That word Selah. What does it mean? You know, apart from it being a psalm, it's a song that they sang. A song, you know, together with a song of ascents. Selah, pause. Think about what you have just said or just read. That's what it means. It's a musical interlude. You know, the choir sings, the music, all the instruments, and then suddenly, after a crescendo, silence. That's what Selah means. Think about it. Pause and think about it. Is God your refuge and strength? Is God my refuge and strength? Have I tried him in times of trouble and found it's true. He'll not let me down. Even if the earth blows up. It says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. That's a wonderful thing. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And if I'm living in that city, and if I'm drinking from that river, God is in my midst. God's in my home. God's in my office. God's in every trial and circumstance, whatever it may happen, sickness, some problem. I don't have to fear. I can remain strong because God is in my midst. I will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Every morning, it'll be new mercies. Not calamities, not new calamities. New mercies every morning. And at night, I can praise Him for His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. That is our God, my brothers and sisters. That's your God, I hope He is. And that's my God. The nations, verse 6, made an uproar. The kingdom started. He raised His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. God of Jacob. Now, Israel, the Holy Spirit identifies this God as the God of Jacob. Jacob who failed, a supplanter, deceiver, crook. So cunning, he knew how to take care of himself till God met with him. Till one night he was alone and God met with him and broke him. And the next morning when there was a dawn, when the sun rose, Jacob was a different man. The sun rose and Jacob limped on his thigh because he had wrestled with God and God prevailed over him. God broke him. And that's what God does, my brothers and sisters, with every one of us. If we are disciples of Jesus, He will wait for us to be alone, to get us alone, so that He can break us in our strong areas, so that I have no one else to cling to. Jacob had nobody else to cling to, nothing else to cling, not even his staff. It was only the angel of God, and that's Jesus Christ, whom he wrestled with and prevailed. He saw God's face. And so when the sun rose the next morning, he was a different man. And a different man from that day. He became a prince with God. He was Israel. No longer Jacob the deceiver, the cheat, the supplanter, the businessman. But a prince with God. And God wants to make every one of us sitting here who are disciples of Jesus and Israel, a prince with God. Not cunning, shrewd businessmen knowing how to take care of ourselves, but letting God have power over us. And it says, verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. This is what God does. It's God who stops wars. It's God who's in control of everything and all that we see around us, even the present instability in our state government. God is on the throne. We were reminded this morning. God is on the throne. God is still on the throne. And we pray, we have a responsibility to pray that God will give us a good government. We are not interested in which party, but a good, stable government. Because God is on the throne. God, this God, is our refuge and strength. And so, this is the word I want us to take note of, to underline. Be still. Cease striving and know that I am God. Cease striving. Be still. Know that I am God. Your God, my God. Your Father, my Father. Be still. It's so difficult to learn to be still. Have you tried it? It's one of the most difficult things for us to do in our Christian life. And that is to be still, spiritually speaking. We are creatures of constant activity, always busy, busy, busy. Which one of us here is not busy? And that is why we become so restless. That is why we lack faith in times of trouble. That is why the God whom we believe in, whom we profess we believe in, the God whom we profess is our Father, we don't find Him our refuge and strength in times of trouble. Why? Because we're so busy. We have not learned to be still. And we enjoy being busy and making ourselves busy or giving an impression that we are busy when actually we are restless. That's the whole problem with us. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, we never enter into rest. We have to do things on this earth. We have a job, you have a business, you've got to go to work, you have to send the children to school, and many things that we have to do each day. But we don't have to get into unrest. I can do all those things out of a place of rest. And that's why it says in the Message Bible, and I like it there, it says step out of the traffic. That word there, cease striving, verse 10. Step out of the traffic. I don't have to get you to use your imagination. You know how it is in Bangalore. And if somebody is speaking to you, you need to step out of the traffic. Get to the side of the road, go to a quiet place where you can be still. It says, step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. That's the Message Bible. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God. How we need to do that, my brothers and sisters. Get out of our busyness. Learn to be still, to be quiet. Even if it's a few moments. You try it. I try to do it so many times. But I will not give up trying to come to a place where I'm at total rest. You know, in the center of the storm, they say, there is a stillness. In the center of that wheel that goes round and round, the center of that wheel that goes round, there's perfect stillness. I'm not a good science student. But some of you would understand that. That's the place you and I have to find. Get off this, you know, going round and round and get to the center where God is. Where God becomes my refuge and strength, that nothing is going to disturb me. Because I'm in the center. The storm may be around me, but I can be in the center. Like the disciples in the boat. The storm raged and they felt that Jesus didn't care, you're sleeping. Would they perish? They would shout, Lord, we are perishing. And Jesus got up and just rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was perfect calm, and they reached the other side. In another incident, when they were straining at the oars, when he told them, get in the boat and go to the other side. And he went up to the mountain to pray. And then he came and he saw them from a distance. They were straining at the oars, it says, because the winds were contrary to them. There was a storm. The devil kicked up there. He thought he'll drown all those disciples. And they thought they would drown. And Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And they were afraid. And he says, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. I hope we hear that. When the storms are raging all around and we think we're going to sink, we're going to drown, I hope we hear that. Take courage. Take courage. It's I. I'm in control. Don't be afraid. And he got into the boat and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And there was perfect calm. And in the next verse it says, they reached the other side. My dear brother and sister, if we are following Jesus, we will not drown. We'll reach the other side. No matter how severe the storm may be, we'll reach the other side. But I can be at peace in the midst of that storm. And that's what I should seek to come to step out of the traffic, to come to a place where I'm still. I cease striving. take a long, loving look into my Father's face. You're not going to let me drown. You won't let go of my hand. You'll take me to the other side. That's why Jesus invited, like we were reminded earlier, and Brother John, are you tired? Worn out? That's Matthew 11:28. Tired, worn out on religion, burned out on religion. Come to me. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Oh, how we need to take that to heart. Not like the way it's put beautifully, but to experience it. Come to me. You get burned out. Burned out just listening to messages and coming to meetings and reading the Bible and praying. But we will not come to him. Jesus said that to some religious people. He says, you search the scriptures. You have your head in your Bibles. It's these that testify of me. And you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. You listen to messages. You come to meetings after meetings and meetings. And it's these that testify. What you're hearing about is about me. And you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. That you can find rest. And that's what it says in the Message Bible in Matthew 11:28. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. He doesn't force anything upon us. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you learn to live freely and lightly. That is what Jesus wants to give us, my brothers and sisters. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is the future holds for you, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, get away, and you'll recover your life. You'll recover from your restlessness. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll give you rest. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, turn there for a moment, in Hebrews chapter 4. This is something that we must all seek to come to. Hebrews chapter 4, it says there remains, verse 9. Hebrews 4:9. There remains therefore for the people of God a Sabbath rest. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 9 to 11. It says if before that, in verse 7, he again fixes a certain day. Listen to this. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David after so long a time, just as been said before, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This is the Sabbath rest that God wants you and I to enter in, and to enter in quickly and to be diligent, like it says there. In verse 10, the one who has entered his rest. What is this Sabbath rest? Here it is, verse 10. The one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. That is the Sabbath rest. I stop striving. I stop trying, I enter into God's rest. I cease from my own works. That's what it means. It's very clear there. And that is the Sabbath that we are to live, not just one day a week, and not just 4 days in a month, or 52 days in the year, but 24/7, every day, 365 days, God's will for you and for me is that we enter into this rest. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. My brothers and sisters, are we seeking to enter there if we have not entered already? It doesn't take long to enter. How long does it take to enter into the Sabbath? For Adam, when God created him, the very next day was a holiday. It was a Sabbath. God rested and Adam rested. And that's what God wants for you and me. God rests from his work and he wants you and me to rest from all our striving and struggling and trying to please him and trying to live a godly life and just abandon ourselves to him and to his Holy Spirit. Let us seek, let it says there. Therefore, verse 11, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. No one should fall short of that. Let us be diligent. And I pray to God that all of us would take it seriously, my brothers and sisters, to get to that place where I would cease striving, to get to that place where I would be still. Whatever happens, even if the earth blows up, God is my refuge and strength, that I cease from my own works. It's a lovely, I don't know if you noticed it in Ezekiel's vision. When Ezekiel was 30 years old, he had this vision by the river Cheba, you know, when they were being deported to Babylon. And Ezekiel saw the heavens opened. We don't have time to read everything there. But this vision that Ezekiel had as a young man among the exiles there when they were being taken as captives to Babylon, Ezekiel 1:24-25, he says, I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters. Ezekiel 1, I'm reading verse 24. As they went like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings and there came a voice from heaven. There came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And I was reading this, it blessed my heart. What is this letting down of the wings? How do, in the right hours, how do we get to know the voice of the Lord? How can I let God speak to me? You know, these creatures, they stood still. They didn't just stand still. They dropped their wings. And the picture he likens, you know, have you seen a bird? I've seen it. It's these sparrows sometimes, or even a raven or crow. Or a bird, you see them. They're standing still, but their wings are still fluttering. You've seen that? They're standing on the ground, but the wings are still fluttering. And that's how it can be with you and me. We think we're standing still. We're standing still. We're kneeling. And we're trying to pray or read and meditate on God's word. But there's still this flutter. This flutter in our heart. We're thinking of something somebody said. We're thinking of something that happened yesterday. We're thinking of something the doctor said. This flutter. Why? It should not be like that. We never hear God's voice. It says when they stood still, they dropped their wings. No fluttering. My dear brothers and sisters, let's learn to drop our wings. Whatever it might be that causes that flutter, that I can drop my wings and be silent, and be still and let God speak in the midst of all the tumult around me. You know, you try that even for 1 minute. Try that. That 1 minute, I'm not going to let any other thought come into my mind. I just want to focus on God and His love and how much He cares for me. You can't do it for a few seconds and you're thinking of something you have to do. And, oh, you know, all those thoughts will come there. Oh, I forgot to do this. And at once you're off your knees or off standing still and you're going about doing what you have to do. We are such restless creatures. There remains a rest, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us be diligent, my brothers and sisters, to enter that rest in these days. We need to enter that rest quickly as we approach the end times. And, you know, he says that how much energy is wasted, how much time is lost by not letting down the wings of our spirit and getting very quiet before him. How much energy we waste. Everything we prayed, I prayed, I had my quiet time, I read the Bible, and now I can face my day. But something happens, I'm in unrest. What happened? What happened to the quiet time? What happened to what I thought I began my day well? I need to enter into the Sabbath rest of the people of God. I need to learn to stand still, to stop striving. A word in Job chapter 4, we see the same thing there. Job chapter 4, verse 16. This is Eliphaz who's speaking to Job. But we can see what he says there. He says, there was silence, verse 16, and I heard a still voice, if you have a margin there. Then a spirit, passed by my face. The hair of my flesh bristled up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice. And A.B. Simpson comments, somebody had given him a book called True Peace. This is an old medieval message that had but one thought, that God was waiting in the depths of my being to talk to me if I would only get still enough to hear his voice. God is waiting in the depths of your being and my being for me to get still enough, to be quiet, to be silent, so that he can talk to me, that I can hear his voice. Why is it we cannot be still? We have the answer in what we read in Psalm 46. We may convince ourselves God is our refuge and strength, but he really isn't. We have not stepped out of the traffic. We have not ceased striving. We have not learned to be still. And that's why we are restless in a crisis. Who do I go to? I can try to convince myself God is there, he's my refuge and strength. But it doesn't seem to work. I know the textbook. I know everything. I know all the messages. I recall this and recall that. And it doesn't work. What's wrong? People today, instead of going to God, go to Google. Hey, Google. That's the answer. Hey, Google. What's the weather like today? Hey, Google. And you can ask any question. You get the answer. You can ask questions about God also. He'll give you the answer. You know that? What a world we live in. If we can only stop and get still, my brothers and sisters, and say, oh, Father. That's what God had to teach me. Oh, Father. Jesus was in that situation, John 12. He said, my soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. What shall I pray? Jesus, what shall I pray? What do I pray in this situation? My soul is so heavy. I'm so distressed because of something I heard or something that I was told. What am I going to pray? Father, save me from this hour. Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. That's how Jesus prayed. The Father was his refuge and strength. Long back he had stopped striving. From a little boy, when he began to distinguish between right and wrong, when he was eating curds and honey, you read it there in Isaiah 8, I think it is. He was at rest. At 12 years old, he was at rest. All the religious leaders were in unrest. That's how he grew. In a world full of turmoil, in a city out of which no good thing came, Nazareth, that's how he grew as a tender shoot. to show us the way, my brothers and sisters, into the Father's heart, so that I can not just go there for occasional visits, but I can live there. That I can live there, I could learn to be at rest. And the wonderful thing in closing, I want to remind you, you know, what we read there, the secret of God being our refuge and strength. Verse 4 of Psalm 46. There is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when every morning dawns. Each new morning, it will be new mercies. Because I drink from that river. When we stop drinking from that river, my brothers and sisters, we get into unrest. God is not our refuge and strength. So I want to encourage us, like Jesus cried on that day, the last day of the feast, he stood up there and cried in John 7, 38, 39. He said, if any man is thirsty, if any man, he cried out, he says with a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, any woman is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, he who believes in me, that is important. Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So if I come and drink from this river, which is Jesus, the spirit of grace that he wants to pour upon me, out of my being will flow rivers of living water also, so that others can quench their thirst. That is God's will. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And one last word, in Hebrews 4:2. So important that I see that I believe, not imagine that I believe. There are many, like I said, unbelieving believers today in believing Christendom. Sadly, I'm not talking about nominal Christianity. I'm talking about believers, believing Christendom in the church. There are unbelieving believers. Why? Verse Hebrews 4:2. It says, therefore, let us fear, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word, listen to this, my brothers and sisters, I speak to my own heart, and I'm not preaching to you. The word they heard did not profit them, because, here is the reason, all the messages I listened to, all the CFC, maybe thousands of messages, and all that I read in God's word, and all the meetings I come to, it does not profit me. Why? Because it was not united by faith in those or with those who heard. In this gathering here, there are a few who, like Joshua and Caleb, have faith. I must unite myself with them if I am to enter into rest. I unite myself with the unbelieving believers in CFC. You will be perpetually in unrest and you will be outside. But if I unite myself with those who have faith, who want to press on into this life of rest, I will be saved. For we who have believed, it says verse 3, enter that rest. We who have believed, enter that rest. My brothers and sisters, if all that I've heard in this church has not benefited me, profited me, it's only one reason. Don't blame the elders. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the meetings, the length of the meetings. I don't have faith. Not mixed with faith in my heart. I hope it will drive us to him who is the author and finisher of this faith. Lord, I've missed something here. Please help me to come to that place, to step out of the traffic and take a long, loving, deep look into my Father's face. My God, who's my refuge and strength. Amen.